Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location, this is Real Spoilers 188, X-Men Apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
Huh?
That's a Brian Posehn joke. That doesn't matter.
If you say so. Is he one of our listeners?
I wish.
No,
that'd be
kidding.
Great.
I'm kidding. I know who he is.
He's a super nice dude, too.
Yeah. So let's go around the table and everyone can identify themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. So since we get long-winded, I say we just jump right in.
Yeah. So
X-Men, go.
This is the ninth entry into this series, I think. Then that includes the two Wolverine movies and a Deadpool movie.
Snicked.
Yeah. So this one kind of picks up. Where does it pick up off? I'm trying to think of like the jump. So you're about 10 years out after X-Men Days of Future Past. So you've got, Mystique is there and she's kind of become the face of the mutant people, I guess. Like she's all over the place.
She's running like the underground railroad for mutants.
Kind of,
basically.
Yeah, yeah. So our movie technically picks up in ancient BCE. With a very old man Apocalypse, but I didn't like. So I've read these comic books almost like this. These have been around since I was a child. Like this has been a part of my comic book reading. I don't ever remember Apocalypse getting old. I never remember that. Like that's a thing that I don't ever think have happened. I don't remember, but I don't think it did. So he's dying and they find another mutant who just happens to be Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, there's this huge like ceremony with, you know, some dubious hired help
right.
in the guards because they're all like, they're all giving the side eye to each other.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I wonder if something's going to happen.
I think something might happen.
Well, and so this process, they lead us to believe, has been happening for hundreds and hundreds of years. So every time he ages into an old man, he transfers his powers to another body. And this super mutant that we find out is the first mutant ever has the ability to take other mutants' powers. So every time he does the body transfer.
I thought Namor was the first mutant.
He was.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, in this world.
And he's the first publicated. Yeah. Like, first. Yeah. Yeah. If they're saying. I think Apocalypse. They're saying
this
Apocalypse
X-Men
in this X-Men
universe.
World, but
yeah.
Submariner is the first published mutant.
Yeah. Yes. It says on the book, the first mutant.
Yes. Right.
Namor.
Namor.
I remember when they added it to the book because it was code for
please buy this book.
Yeah.
We'll put John Byrne on it.
He's okay too. Yeah. Do you like the X-Men? Perhaps you'd like the X-Men underwater.
Guess what? He's dead now. They killed him. They cut his head off.
What if Wolverine had pruny claws?
Yeah.
He had wings on his feet.
Well, that was always an issue. It's like, do those do anything?
No. It's like the wings on side of Captain America's helmet. They did nothing.
Which were decorative.
Correct.
These were actual wings on his feet, and he was underwater. Yeah. Well, those are for flying.
Don't
just say
don't.
All right, whatever. So
easy,
anyway,
Bill
here
Nye.
We are. Here we are in Egypt.
Yeah,
and the city planners did some poor construction on this pyramid.
I feel like the guys who built the Death Star also built this pyramid.
You know, if you just put all the load bearing weight in a single file line on
and
these
then
poles,
you could use a hockey puck, go right through everything. So yeah, that's the thing. Is like these guys call him a false god, and the transfer happens, and it's the only time you see Oscar Isaac.
Yeah,
ever. Without makeup.
We're okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And they knock down these two hockey pucks and they just knock down the entire
bring
pyramid,
down the pyramid
except for like And they're like, it's also, they are killing people in this. So they have, like, he's got his four horsemen of the apocalypse, and like one guy has telekinesis, I guess.
But it's just, old like, timey, so they're like the four ponies.
The four ponies. Yeah. They're not there yet. Yeah, right. We'll get into the apocalypse, the four horsemen thing here in a second.
Now I'm going to have that Vangelis song stuck in my head.
Oh, see, I have the Metallica song stuck in my head.
I've got the leading horse is white, the second horse is red.
Oh, sorry. Aphrodite's child was Vangelis.
Oh, okay.
I blew your mind, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
I'm like, Vangelis.
Vangelis was an Aphrodite's child.
I did not know that.
But now it makes total sense, right?
Yes.
Now that you hear it, you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, that was always Vangelis.
That's crazy.
Vangelis is the guy that did the theme to Chariots of Fire.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mid-lifetimey.
And then Aphrodite's Child is a Keishi classic.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it is maybe the creepiest goddamn song you've ever heard.
Yeah. What's it called?
It's called Aphrodite's Child. I think the song is called 666.
Yeah, I don't know. I never even knew the name of the song. I just know it was the Four Horsemen song.
Yeah. And it's a creepy song. Creepy song.
Keishi classic.
All right.
Back in the day.
Putting it on my iTunes right now.
There you go.
He has the Four Horsemen. They end up like
they
crushing
protect
people.
Him. So like as all this destruction is happening with the pyramid,
they're turning people like backwards.
Yeah,
and, like,
there's Fire Lady and Fold 'Em Up Lady, and there's
Beast Guy,
Stick 'Em in the Wall Guy,
Deus Ex Machina.
That's who they are.
Lady.
That's about it.
Yeah. So each one protects him. One's holding the stones while the other's doing the transfer. Mm-hmm. And as the thing collapses, like they just barely protect him from the weight of it falling, but the transfer is completed.
It's complete, yeah. So he just kind of hangs out there, apparently. Yeah. He can't get up. So then we flash forward, and I think this is where we get to Rose Byrne again. So we see Moira McTaggart come back from X-Men First Class, which we're going to reference that movie a lot, and it's a way better movie. I was not a fan of that. There were parts of this movie that I enjoyed. Overall, I did not think this was a very good movie. Do I think it's the franchise killer that some people are calling it?
No.
Probably not.
No. I call this movie Exposition Men.
I would call it...
That's good. Because I'm like, whoa, you're going to talk about this? No, this, thanks.
It's not as bad as Batman v Superman, but I would put it on Green Lantern level.
I would totally disagree with that. What I call this movie is not Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
This is coming off the heels of that, and it's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate.
So I'm far enough removed from that.
But are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the back of your head, are you still thinking there's way better superhero movies out there?
Because Days of Future Past was amazing. That was great. So, like, I would expect the next one to be just as good.
I think Singer needs to hang it up.
I think they reboot this franchise, go back to the original five, and let Singer go. See if you can get Matthew Vaughn back.
I mean, Matthew Vaughn is the one that jump-started this thing and was incredible.
Class, yep.
And Days of Future Past was good, but like...
But he was also playing off... We're coming off of First Class.
Yeah, so this one is just like, no, we need Matthew Vaughn back or we need to stop this. But the thing is, they've got one more movie. Each movie spans a decade. So this is 83.
They're going to go
another 10 years to like 93 or early 90s. And the first X-Men was in 2000. So like they can wrap it up after the first X-Men's gone.
But I mean, it doesn't exist anymore.
They don't need to keep going forward. Like they can just come full circle and then reboot it after one more. Like I would either get Vaughn back or stop on this path.
This movie was like 2 hours.
Two and a half hours.
No, but 2 hours of it was montage.
Yeah.
It was a 2 hour montage of assembling the team.
I was just about to say, get the team together.
Versus bad guys. But it was 2 hours of that. Yeah. You know, instead of like, they did that in First Class and they did it in like 10 minutes.
But also, I think
five minutes.
The advantage of First Class had that I liked is there were no recognizable X-Men.
Yeah,
like there was no Wolverine. There was Wolverine, but that didn't count.
Well, Banshee. I mean, there was no Cyclops.
No, there was no Jean Grey.
Beast was the first one, right?
Yeah. So, oh, I guess he was.
There's Banshee, and there was. I mean, there was like sort of
the fringe X-Men. The Grant Morrison X-Men.
Yeah,
is what that was.
They weren't your 90s X-Men, the main team that
It was a complete Havoc and, you know, which is, so I just want to put this out. So the Havoc returns in this movie, right? So we're saying that in X-Men First Class.
With some
Havoc,
questionable wig action.
Wig action, but also let's think about how old he should be, right? So in X-Men First Class, he's 18.
Sure.
Okay. So we're 20 years past what happens in First Class. So now he's 40 something.
40, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just now introducing his younger brother, who looks like he's 16?
17. Yeah.
So his folks waited 30 years before
yeah.
Scott, like, yeah. And, you know.
Talk about sneaking one past the goalie.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So
apparently her secret power is not hitting menopause.
Yeah.
But that's the
She's
thing.
She's a mutant too. Yeah.
Surprise Scott Summers.
Yeah, surprise Scott Summers. I think if anybody has read the X-Men, you know that their continuity is so effed. Like anything in the eight, like nothing.
And now they are in the movies.
And now they are in the movies. Like that's what it is.
Like, when you're time hopping like this, I mean, and especially like with Days of Future Past going back in time and yes. forward and then combining two casts and like jumping around a decade at a time. Like yeah. how do you keep track of that with keeping the same actors? I mean, it's just
there.
Like,
there's another piece of this puzzle that we'll get to where it's like, you know, like you directed the movie before this. So how do you mess this up so bad when we get to a certain scene with a certain yeah. character? Yeah. So
I liked seeing, like, so going back to the cast that we know, like Professor Xavier, like the school's much more established in the last 10 yeah. years since we've seen it, you know? So school's going gangbusters, lots of students.
Beast is like a professor and somehow has
surpassed or yeah. suppressed.
Nicholas Holt doesn't also apparently has in his contract that he doesn't have to wear the makeup that yeah. often. So right. he's just walking around. So he's Beast. Yeah. Kind of.
Sort of.
I really liked the storyline about Eric. Like, I liked him trying to live a normal life. He's not Magneto, but he's not being villainous. Like, he's trying to have a family. He now is married. He has a daughter. He works at a steel mill. I mean,
that's poor planning on his part.
Poor planning or
great planning.
That's yeah, true. Or else yeah. they should have been like, you know what? We'll turn a blind eye to this whole yeah. thing. If you can
work metal?
You think
HR would step in and we're like, this Eric fella, I think he's being underutilized.
Yeah. Right. We're not going to report him to anyone. We're going to use this.
Oh, no. We're going to report him to somebody because we're a bunch of, we have to make him a bad guy.
Yeah. But it's like, so I really loved seeing like how he has kind of left and changed his identity and he's living his life. I like the dynamic with him and his family and yeah. the daughter was really
sweet.
I thought
the daughter, so in the X-Men, you know, he's got Scarlet Witch or Wanda and
right.
Peter, but he's also got Polaris, who is an X-Factor character and who ends up marrying Havoc later. But I was just kind of like, oh man, that'd be kind of cool if they kind of call that back.
But she can control animals in this, right?
Yeah. She's
her power for his new daughter.
And I don't know who this, if it's so a character, not, I don't know who it
right,
is.
Right. I wasn't sure who yeah. that was supposed to be.
No, Polaris has like bright green hair. And, yeah.
But as soon as you see the family, you're like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. Like, you're like, oh, he's never going to be Magneto again.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. He's happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
What's the worst that could happen?
Some heart-wrenching scenes. And Michael Fassbender, man,
yeah, this
that dude
is, the scene
is
where
an actor.
This is the scene where I felt like he was committed.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get later in this movie,
I guess this is the scene why he did the movie.
Yeah, he's not committed. Like, he does not want to be in this movie.
How much commitment do you have to do to
stand
on,
there just like this
on a green screen and hold your arms to your
yeah.
side?
I've never thought he was
wince.
A weak point. I mean, the guy's a great actor.
Oh,
and
no, I
to
don't
have his caliber of actor in movies like this. I'm always like,
but they gave him nothing to do.
No, I mean, he's not a major character in this. He's one of four assistance to the villain.
Yeah.
So I mean, think about that. Yeah. He's just
he's just like middle management.
Yeah. He's just
he's
one
the middle management
assistants.
Of evil.
Yeah.
It's the new group.
So,
it's not the Brotherhood of Evil.
It's the middle management of evil.
Yeah. So now we jump to Cairo,
yeah.
and we see a young Storm, which actually was cool. Mm-hmm. Like they actually got her origin kind of pretty much right.
Close.
Where she's a thief and, you know, she has sort of control over the weather. And Apocalypse.
Yeah, she called up like a nasty little
dust
cloud.
Yeah.
Ooh, my eyes.
Just steal an apple or something,
yeah.
right?
It's like easy Aladdin. Like, I've seen this
right.
before.
It was like a scene straight out of Aladdin.
So
thief, you know what we do to thieves? Yeah. Then he's gonna
right.
like,
she said, let's not get too hasty.
Yeah. Riff raff.
Apocalypse is like, no.
He stops the whole song. He's like, we don't own the rights to this. This is not the Marvel part that we own.
He
right?
pushes a guy into a wall just in case. He's like, no. So he ends up recruiting. He super power. So apparently one of Apocalypse's powers is he can supercharge other mutants' powers.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, he upgrades everybody.
He's the Windows 10 of mutants.
Right. So he
whether
ends
you want it or not, he touches
yeah.
you and you get upgraded.
I'm going to say right now, and I know that they like tried to dispel this, but could he have upgraded his makeup? Because I'm telling you right now, the whole time I'm like, it really doesn't look good.
Is there
does it look good? Do you guys think it looks good? Because he looks like, you know, when Vinnie Vincent Ivan was wearing Ooze. The makeup and Kiss. You know what Vinnie Vincent
I know
was.
What you're talking
and you're
about.
Like, he kind of looks like Vinnie Vincent and Kiss right now. You know, where he's
he
like.
He had moments where, like, when his eyes would turn
white. Have you
white.
Ever read the Rolling Stone article about whatever happened to Vinnie Vincent?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oof. It's crazy.
Who was Vinnie Vincent? He was a guitarist who was talented, but also was on a fast car to Crazy Town.
Oh. And he was, replaced. Ace Frehley.
Yeah, during Creatures of the Night.
Yeah, he replaced Ace Frehley in Kiss. He was the first, like, non-original member to join Kiss.
Okay.
And they gave him makeup, but he was never on an album in makeup, right? He just toured
yes,
with
he
makeup.
Was. He was on one version of Creatures of the Night.
Okay.
There's two versions of that album cover out there, and there's one with Ace Frehley, and I think okay. there's another one. It's like a European version.
Okay.
And they've got him in that yeah. okay. Ankh. He's got an Ankh makeup.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, right off the bat, you're like, well, everybody else had kind of, like,
a theme.
Yeah, this was just a big Ankh in the middle of his face.
Yeah.
And that's what I kept looking at the whole time. I was like, I wish they'd fix that.
But Vinnie Vincent was so crazy. He got kicked out of his own band. Like, so he went.
What was his band before?
So, well, no, so he leaves Kiss, right?
Okay.
Because they didn't want to pay him as a full member, from what I understand. And
so, sounds like something Kiss would do.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And so he leaves Kiss, and he starts his own band, Vinnie Vincent's Invasion.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And, had a song on the soundtrack to the Mark Harmon classic Summer School.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it's called The Boys Want to Rock mm-hmm. because boys want.
Who doesn't want to rock?
Boys yeah. do, in boys. Fact, want to rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes,
that is correct.
And I
thought that was inferred.
Well, yeah, but you know, you got to remember target demo.
Yeah.
You
sure.
Know?
Right.
So,
okay.
But he had to be careful because he couldn't talk about All Night. The boys just want to rock.
Right. Wherever. Right. Yeah.
They couldn't say
we are available.
And roll.
Right. We are only available for rocking at any point
in
time.
Boys just want to rock.
And role models.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I like to rock between like 3 and 6.
To rock and roll all night and part of every day. Yeah. Well, no, I'd be tired. I can't rock yeah. and roll all night and then party every day.
I prefer to rock and roll between like the hours of 3 and 6.
So, anyway, he was such a that the band got together because he was a guitar player, wasn't a singer.
Okay.
So the band got together, kicked him out, found a new guitar player, and that band, ladies and gentlemen, Slaughter.
Oh, that's almost like Dave Mustaine, where Metallica's like, look, you're drinking too much.
Yeah.
And you know if Metallica's
Metallica
like,
tells you
like,
drink
you
too
drink
much.
Too much.
Yeah, they that's fired
like
him and he didn't even know it.
Yeah.
Like he was in
up.
A bender and he was like, hey,
it's like if Cheech and Chong's like back off on the weed.
Yeah.
Right. And they're like, yeah, and then we went on to do Megadeth.
It's a shame Dania isn't here from the Equalizer episode when she said, and she is a Slaughter is her monkeys.
Wow.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Well, So anyway, that's what I thought about the makeup.
Yeah, I thought the makeup
was like,
all right.
It was kind of like not.
It didn't really bother me. I mean, I wasn't sure.
That first promo image that they released was bad.
Yeah.
When they released that very first image of him in the makeup, he did look like Ivan Ooze from the Power Rangers.
You know what? It just didn't look like. It really looked like he was like, I'm going to do evil, but first I got to put on my makeup. That's good enough.
Okay, I'm all right now. What's his budget got?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he ends up taking. He takes Storm. And then we flash to Angel, who we only saw briefly in X-Men 3.
Yeah.
Isn't he the son of like the guy who's trying to create the cure?
Yeah. He was the son or a son. I don't know.
So he's in an underground fighting ring.
Yeah.
And Nightcrawler shows up. They like.
And here's my issue with Nightcrawler, right?
Okay.
Alan Cummings was so effing good as Nightcrawler that I would just not do that character ever again.
I agree.
Because like,
Unless it was him.
Because he was so good and he nailed that tone. He nailed that character that nobody is going to touch
and
that
I
character.
I thought this kid was good.
I think this kid was trying.
He was doing
that.
His best.
Yeah, he was but trying, it like, was. I didn't dislike him as much as I was anticipating just because I thought Alan Cumming was so good.
Yeah. That whole opening scene in X2 is.
It's beautiful.
Oh my God. That's so good. So they end up. They're in this. Like electrified cage fight.
Mm-hmm.
And Nightcrawler ends up damaging.
At Club. I don't know, whatever
club,
this
blah blah
club, yeah, club 80s, because I was like you know, your singer was like, oh yeah, we'd go crazy on the wardrobe,
yeah,
you know?
Right,
just the 80s,
can
and
we grease
like,
the, can we grease these guys up a little bit.
I was like, what,
that $200 million budget?
Yeah.
Club 80s,
club 80s, yeah.
Like,
club 80s and like whatever. Baby oil.
Yeah, it was just
well, he just donated that from his personal collection.
Oh, yeah, right,
he didn't
on,
have
right
to have
on.
A budget on that.
Oh, all right now. And Singer is a huge Angel fan. He's obsessed with Angel.
Do him better.
Maybe he could take that and do his own.
The band that sang the tower?
Yeah. The Angels. I'm thinking about the Australian version.
Touched by an angel?
Or an angel from Angel City, as they were known in the States.
Angels in the Outfield?
You know, a weird connection is the band Angel, who sang the tower, was signed to Casablanca Records, which was managed by Kiss.
Yep.
That's right. Full circle.
Yeah.
We brought it back.
There's Angel.
Yeah, and you know, he's just like a punk kid.
I liked his little, like, although it was a bit elaborate to when he was using his wing, is like, as he's got the, you know, the wings,
little talons or whatever.
He's using the talons on the edge of the wings to check off.
How much Red Bull must this guy drink?
A lot.
Yeah.
It gave him lots of wings.
Lots of wings.
So then this is where Mystique shows. This is where we see Jennifer Lawrence, who you'll never see.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence. We don't see Mystique.
And if I were like Laura Donner, I think is the producer of these. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and you know, Jennifer Lawrence is like, well, I want Robert Downey Jr. money. If I were Laura Donner, I'd be like, you know, she's a shapeshifter. Yeah. She doesn't have to look like you ever. Again,
it's very true.
Yeah,
but with how popular Jennifer Lawrence is, people want her to look like Jennifer Lawrence. That's the problem.
I want her to look like Jennifer Lawrence as well. But
there's a reason she can command that money, because
if you have a huge movie star,
you don't put her in the makeup
like that in your movie,
and
this is what the problem with Spider-Man 3 was, is that nobody had their masks on.
Yeah. Well, it's the Robert Downey Jr. thing.
We always like see him inside the helmet anyway.
Yeah, but in Captain America, he barely wears that helmet.
He didn't
wear the helmet in Iron Man 3.
But it works.
Yeah, but he's good at, like, he, you know, I think Mystique is, there's no character to her. She's just there, where Robert Downey Jr. is that charismatic, like, Tony Stark has a, you know, charisma and... Where Jennifer, well,
the fact that he's in a suit of that nature,
and you still
they found a great end run around the fact that you're paying these movie stars tens of millions of dollars to cover their face,
right?
You know, like they found a great way around.
Yeah, is that the first one? The first time they did that,
Iron Man appeared.
Yeah, well, so I was thinking of like maybe in another an airplane movie like Top Gun or something where like.
From
the inside.
Yeah, I think that's like the first time we actually. Yeah,
that Tom Cruise wasn't playing an airplane, right? Like he wasn't.
Are you sure
he wasn't?
Does he know that? Does he know
wasn't
that?
Wearing an airplane?
Does he know well, that
Tom
he wasn't?
Cruise?
I'll be the airplane.
Did you watch
He's got thetans, man. He's got like a ton of thetans.
Did you watch the premiere of Preacher?
No, I haven't.
There's a great Tom Cruise joke. Like there's this.
Don't ruin it.
All right, it's great. Anyway, so like she shows up and she ends up shutting the whole thing down and taking Nightcrawler with her.
Yeah.
She like messes with the electric fence, so then he's able to phase out of.
Right.
Because he can't go through the electricity. That's why they electrocute the box he's in.
Which doesn't make any sense. Yes, he can.
Yeah.
As long as he can see where he's going, he can go, he can go
but
around.
They've
anything.
Made up this trope that he cannot go through electricity.
I was like, you could just go right under the other side of that fence if you want.
All you have to do is look at it.
Yeah.
Boop. There you
go. But I just have to say at this point, like, as much as Jennifer Lawrence is a great actress, she's awesome.
Out of this
but like,
movie.
I am done with Mystique. She's not an X-Men.
Yeah.
Just like, stop.
They've already changed that character so much.
I don't want to see Mystique. Here's is anyone thing. Jonesing she, for more Mystique?
She's Nightcrawler's mom.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a thing.
Yes.
And there's no way she's Nightcrawler. Like, you know, like she's Nightcrawler's mom and she's Rogue's mom. That's, I don't know how that correlates or what that.
Yeah.
Like,
and this
they
universe,
look nothing alike, but you know, I have no idea. So they end up getting away and she takes him to Kalibak, which was another weird character I didn't expect to see in this movie,
which is weird. Cause she ain't no Kalibak
girl. And this is where you're introduced to Olivia Munn as Psylocke, who has all of like, seven lines.
So she's a money lender?
Yeah.
That's Shylock.
I think they basically.
This movie makes a lot more sense to me now.
Yeah. But it's a Bryan Singer movie, so she was a pound of flash.
I drew the comparison just because the movies were so close to each other, but they basically gave Olivia Munn the Gina Carano role in Deadpool, where she's this tough action chick, you know, but like she doesn't say much, she doesn't do much, it's just she's there, just existing.
She's just
which
there
is
for
unfortunate.
She's there for splash pages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all she's there for.
She is. It was just the same thing, like where Gina Carano just kind of punches
splashing
people.
On your pages.
Yeah.
Well, no, those are worth something.
So
dude,
that's
crazy.
That's why they're bagged and boarded.
That's right.
Yeah, she. I mean, I was really bummed because I was like, I thought there was going to be a lot more. In
oh,
that
did you
character.
Tape these shut? No,
nope. Just stuck. Yeah, she put in all that.
She was
work.
Very underutilized. Like she's in the nerd community. Olivia Munn is revered. You know, everyone loves her. They put her in this movie. She gets into great shape, and then what do they do with her? They just don't.
You know what else was underutilized? Continuity.
Well,
yeah.
lots of it.
That person was off that day.
I thought you said fat person, and I was like, did you see the blob?
I saw the blob.
Yeah, when he gets carted out, I was like, all right, fair enough. That's pretty good.
But that's enough.
Yeah.
Because
I don't need to see that character
again.
Don't
want to go there ever again.
They did enough damage
as
with...
a kid. I mean, little kid reading X-Men way back and looking at the blob and thinking, well, that's dumb.
Yeah. Oh, great. Character. Now I just get stuck in people. That's awful. Yeah, so then they end up trying to think, oh, this is where... So we also flash... There's a story, another side story, where Magneto has kind of lived... He's lived in Poland, and he's doing his own thing. He's got a wife and a daughter. He works in a steel shop. There's an accident that happens, and he ends up saving
dude's
life,
guy.
And he stops like a big burner or something from falling on him.
And he looks around like no one sees him but this one dude. And you're like, someone up top like saw him. And it's like, damn it. Like no one saw how the guy got saved.
Right.
It's for one guy. And you're like, well, crap. There it is.
Yeah. So,
well, sure, also, he won't tell anybody.
I mean, yeah. Maybe if he just dialed down the flourishes a little bit. Like,
if he doesn't stand there like this.
Like with your finger or twitch.
I think it was a reaction, though. The thing was about to fall on some guy.
I get it, but even on Dream of Genie and like, or take a page out of Samantha Stevens' book, and she just go, ding, a little bit. You don't have to go full-blown like,
maybe the nose twitch was copyrighted.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, in First Class, it would make sense because Bewitch hadn't aired yet.
That's right.
But now, like, not only is it totally there.
Ran for 9 seasons. It's in syndication.
Yeah, he knows.
You even had the ABC spinoff Tabitha.
Yeah, that's
you've
right.
Gone through, yeah, you've gone through two Darrens.
Right. So
those dicks.
Dicks.
Couple of dicks.
Sergeant and York.
Yeah. Magneto realizes they got to get
out
of
Sergeant
there.
York was on Bewitched?
Yeah, totally.
That was a weird crossover. Yeah.
York Peppermint Patties?
Yeah.
That was the porn.
That was the porn. That was the Peanuts crossover.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was
Larry it. Tate was a bear.
So he realizes they got to get out of there. So they start to leave, and then the police are there already. And they're like, hey, are you this guy? And he was like,
Yeah,
you want me to sign
he's
something?
He's like, no, I'm not this guy.
By the way, good job saving that guy. But anyway.
Yeah, but anyway, we're going to... So...
This scene, though, like
so apparently
I said,
they tried to lease Hawkeye from the Avengers to put him in this movie because
really?
All they have is no, it's a dude with a bow and arrow.
Oh, yeah. With a bow and arrow.
Yeah, they ended up with Alan Alda.
Yeah, yeah. Which actually, I'd be like, hey, what's going on?
I'm always excited when Alan Alda pops up in a movie. He even made that that crappy Nicholas Sparks movie. Where I was
oh, he
like,
was the dad.
I was like, oh, Alan Alda.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
So why does everybody have guns and they're going to hunt down Magneto, but a guy has a bow and arrow?
Nobody had guns.
They
said
no
metal.
No guns. No metal.
Like, why aren't
no
you
badges.
Wearing your badges?
Oh, what did they? Okay, I thought they had something.
No.
Tennis shooters.
He did. So he.
That's why they wouldn't let Vinnie Vincent go after him.
Yeah.
No metal.
He had her necklace.
Okay.
That's
right,
what he uses
okay,
as
right.
No metal.
So they all like,
come on.
Give
me something.
Yeah. So he ends up.
I was laughing inside.
Yeah.
So they weapons that weren't guns.
None
so
of them
one
had
guy
any
has...
weapons. The one guy had a bow and arrow. And
well,
he ends
they did
up...
have weapons. They had like sticks and bows and arrows. That's
a flaming. Had flames and you know.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They all like had they weapons that weren't guns. No metal. They just had like basic weapons and
so
they had his... confusion and anger.
Yeah. His daughter ends up starting to control like the birds around.
Yeah.
And as he's like trying to talk to her, they
so his daughter is Snow White.
That's kind of
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
They end up shooting the daughter in the back with a bow and arrow. And that must have been one hell of a bow and arrow because it goes through the daughter and through the mom at the same time. And then Magneto
they end up wrapping up this storyline.
Yeah.
With
you
one
know, you
shot.
Know that Eric. You know that Eric Lynch character you really really like. We're done with it.
Yeah.
He's never gonna. He's not gonna act the rest of this movie, except for the very end, which there's a nice little part at the very end.
But I did really like this scene, though.
This
like
scene was
all
great.
The Magneto and family stuff, and then with the police officers, like that, just heartbreaking. Like I thought this was.
Oh yeah, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
It was, but it was good. It was like,
really
you know,
well
it's,
done.
It's also like I dig Fassbender, and when Fassbender gets to act, that dude is kind of untouchable.
I think he's one of the best actors.
I'm interested
of,
to see what that Assassin's Creed looks like.
Yeah,
like,
I mean
how
the trailer,
he, how he is an Assassin's Creed.
I thought the trailer looked cool.
Yeah,
I thought
it looked just like the video game.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, like, he takes, like, the daughter, his daughter's necklace and uses it and, like, cuts everybody's throat with it.
With one shot, which is similar to the knife thing from First Class. Remember how cool he was with the knife when he takes the guy, the bar's knife, and kills the guy, you know?
All like, I could think about was the coin. The
I was thinking of Sebastian Shaw. What's his name in Guardians with his...
Yondu.
Yeah,
that's a cool
Yondu's
scene.
One of those. Yeah, one of those type of scenes where you're just like, that guy's a badass.
That's cool.
Because I remember in the bar just thinking how cool Fassbender was, Magneto, like in that bar, and how he just took everybody out.
It's weird. There's another Wolverine bar scene. The introduction of Wolverine is fantastic. In the first
X-Men.
Well,
that's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. Where he's just like, you know.
That was the best. That's one of the best cameos.
No. I mean, in the first X-Men.
Yeah.
Where Rogue sees him at the bar.
Yeah.
And that's like, that was the first, like when his skin splits open.
Yeah.
Man, that was cool. No, because he's got like the two claws around the guy's throat.
And that was before Shaky Claws.
That was before Shaky Claws. Shaky Claws. That's right.
Shaky Claws.
Almost killed the franchise. They tried. They tried to kill it. They've tried to kill this franchise more than once. Like, they did it with X3, and they did it with Wolverine. Origins. Yeah.
Wolverine was... And I will still say, I think, you know, after Origins came out, I was like, well, X3's not that bad.
on a scale of the movies.
Wolverine Origins is one of the worst things I've seen.
Easily.
I mean, that movie is atrociously bad.
It was awful.
Offensively bad. It was terrible.
I was like, wait, where does Gambit come in this? Why is he in this movie? I don't understand.
The whole thing is a mess.
Yeah. So, and then they end up...
That was the waste of a perfectly good Gambit.
That was a waste of a good Gambit.
That should have been perfect.
That was also
Taylor
like...
Yeah, Taylor Kitsch. Yeah.
There's one thing that... Okay, here's two things I like. The one, continuity in general. I was like, can we get continuity on Stryker? Once. Give me continuity on Stryker.
Never.
You've had like seven guys play seven actors play this character.
So
like,
it was Brian Cox.
Brian
and
Cox.
And then it was...
Danny Houston.
Danny Houston. And then this guy.
This kid.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, whatever. Okay. Like, and none of them even like, I mean, there's not even any similarities between.
No. I will give you like Danny Houston and this kid could look alike.
Yeah.
Like maybe.
If he goes on like, you know, if he goes to like Thailand for like 20 years on a raging bender.
Well, then he
comes back and is like, whoa, what happened?
He's got to look like, you know. And then he has to turn to Brian Cox later.
Yeah, the guy's like, whoa, what happened? No, it's just...
there is no... Bugs. And, you know, we'll get to that
again,
to the
continuity.
Stryker thing.
Yeah.
So Mystique sees this on TV and she realizes she's got to get back to the mansion to talk to Charles and figure out what they're going to do about Eric. This entire
because we built this big mansion set.
Right. All I could think about was Deadpool, where he was like, every time I come here, there's only two of you.
Yeah.
It's like we can't afford other mutants. And then like there's mutants overrun the entire thing. So this entire time Apocalypse is recruiting. So now he's got Psylocke and then he's got Magneto.
Mm-hmm. He's got a long montage.
Yeah. And then
he's got Storm from the beginning.
He's got Storm and now he's got Angel. And the Angel scene, I wanted to punch everybody.
When he upgrades everybody's, when he glamorizes everybody's outfits.
When he turns his wings into metal.
Not even that. Like the song that he's listening to is the Horseman of the Apocalypse by Metallica.
Yeah.
And I was like,
was that a little too on the nose?
Yeah, a little bit. I was like, come on. That's awful.
How cool would this be?
He's
I
like,
can give you more power.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you a snazzy outfit. Hold on.
And wicked face tattoos.
Meanwhile, Magneto, you go over there and have a psychic conversation. I'm just like,
okay, I will.
Yeah.
So they bring Magneto back to Auschwitz, which if I could not, this is, I think Bryan Singer, this is his Bruce Wayne's parents getting shot.
Yeah.
Like if I got to see this scene one more time of him at Auschwitz,
they're starting
like tearing the gates down.
They're starting to, you know, steal away from the dramatic impact of that.
Yeah, that initial scene in that first movie, woo,
stellar.
That's a good scene
because establishes some motivations for the character. Like,
even in First Class.
Well, in First Class,
and then
it's amazing.
And because they show up from a different angle.
Yeah. Right,
and you're like,
okay.
It was good. It was great.
Yeah. And now I'm just like, I got it.
Yeah, okay.
He's Jewish, and he was in a concentration camp.
Yeah,
I get it.
He's got a tattoo. Numbers on his arm,
right? Which we see all the time.
Yes.
So we flash back to the mansion, and Raven is there. They keep calling her Raven and Mystique. I was like, can you just pick a name?
But we got to talk about.
Good Lord.
We got to talk about Scott Summers.
Oh, so they we're introduced
Gray,
to Scott
Jubilee.
Summers, who also, by the way,
Jubilee, who's everyone's.
Not even that. She's been a teenager for nine movies.
Yeah,
like she was a teenager.
Is that the same girl?
Yeah. Yes.
How are they doing that?
She was a teenager in X-Men 1. She was a teenager in X-Men 2.
Yes.
She's still a teenager in this one.
Jubilee never ages.
At some point, maybe she'll...
She is a vampire, but whatever.
She'll do something.
Maybe. They don't even show her powers.
Nope.
Granted, her powers are
not aging.
Yeah.
Thought she just threw really good parties.
That's all she does.
Yeah.
And like crazy light shows. So yeah, we see Scott Summers, which actually I like this kid. I never James Marsden, I think, nailed that character because I hate Scott Summers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I can't stand Summers. But this kid, like,
Cyclops
you get
has always been kind of a tool.
Yeah.
He's a D-bag.
And this one, like, you feel a little bit bad for him because like his powers kick on in the middle of school.
I thought this portrayal was good. The kid was good. Like, yeah, for sure.
I do have a problem with they need to realize that his eye beams aren't fire.
Right.
They don't set things on fire.
Right.
They always set things on fire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they set that tree on fire.
Yeah.
Like that tree is, you know, but they're blasts. They're not fire.
Right.
His girlfriend, she's the one with the fire.
Yeah.
So this is where we see the not 40-year-old Havoc bringing him to the X mansion. And then they're trying to find Eric down in the danger room or the Cerebro.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, they brought Moira McTaggart.
Moira's there.
Who I forgot they wiped her memory.
Yeah.
I'm like, easy Superman 2. Like, there's no reason to do, like, all right, whatever. Magic kiss. Super kiss.
Yeah, I had actually totally forgotten that character because after that happened and then we had Days of Future Past, like, I forgot she was a thing.
So they referenced the sun.
Well, and that character's in the third and X-Men 3. She's in Last Stand.
Mm.
Different actors, but whatever.
It is?
Yeah.
Who was it in that one?
Yeah, it's not Rose Byrne. It's some...
Well, that makes sense why I forgot about that and that, too.
She's in that because...
She's in X3.
Yeah, yeah.
When that got wiped out by Days of Future Past, I'm like, yes, I will never think about this movie again. That was genius.
But they reference her son, and if you know anything about the books, like, that's Charles Xavier's son. It's Legacy, I think, is what his name is. I think that's right. Who ends up being a big bad at some point.
Because naming in the... comic book characters in the 90s was just whatever. I'll call you Legacy.
You will be Legacy and Onslaught. That's a good name.
They were running out.
Yeah, they were.
They were just close to just calling one Steve.
Yeah. Get the... Yeah.
It was like... It was Steve with like two Vs.
Everything
that's how you knew. It was extreme.
Everything was thesaurus-based.
Yeah, right.
Hold on. Synonym.
Wouldn't Steve with two Vs just be Stew?
That's true. Yeah, put them close together. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah,
the stew.
Like the Vavitch.
They were like,
Scarlet Vavitch.
Yeah. We got to come up with something better than the stew.
And stop using the word flick.
There's a Apocalypse shows up at the X Mansion, and then
what about Jean Grey? We haven't talked about Sophie Turner as Jean Grey yet
because she hasn't done anything we're talking about yet.
But I mean,
she shows up.
She made it shaky.
Yeah, she has a Phoenix dream, I guess.
Dude, she like almost the mansion.
I will say, I love Famke Jensen. I don't think was ever given enough to do. Like, Jean Grey is one of my favorite Marvel characters of all time. I have a Phoenix tattooed on my arm for that exact reason.
I thought that was from Harry Potter.
No.
Oh.
No. I've never read those books.
Huh.
Seen the movies, but never read the books. It's like Jaws. Like, I've never read the book either.
Yeah, really, I think it'd be hard to read Jaws now.
I don't think I can read the Jaws. I don't think
I can read it firmly
entrenched. Is it different?
Yeah.
It's totally different.
Richard Dreyfuss's character is totally nailing Brody's wife the whole time.
For real?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
that's why the shark comes after in 4.
That's why it's personal in 4.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
And you see the shark in the book?
Yeah. You visualize the shark.
I'm trying to remember who all lives and dies.
Brody, he died. Everybody except for Brody lives.
Wasn't Brody supposed to die in the movie?
Brody lives, and Quint and...
only Quint dies in the movie.
In the movie, but Richard, his character, Quint and... Hooper. They both
That's Hooper.
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 Famke Jensen, I think, looked the part, but they never gave her anything to do.
I thought she was...
I liked her.
Good.
I always liked her.
I thought they got the character right in part 2. Like I, yes. I liked her more in part two. Granted, part two was a far superior movie.
Well, you know what part two did is that they basically they had more budget.
Yeah.
So everybody's powers were way more. So like in part one, you know what happens to a frog and lightning or whatever, toad and lightning. Part two, Storm is like making, you know, she's doing tornadoes,
And stuff. Awesome. Yeah, right.
But part two also is a much. In some ways, a more intimate story because it's
agree.
The Wolverine origin story. So a lot of the, you know, even though you got these huge set pieces, it's contained within Alkali Lake and all
inside
of that.
Inside the mansion, yeah.
And, yeah, it's all contained and confined.
Man, that scene,
this
that
movie
scene where he goes crazy
is guilty of like having infinite, you know, sort of just going for the infinite and the making everything bigger.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm like, I don't care. You know, because it's like I don't see any of the characters. I think Magneto's over there in that bubble of debris
stuff. Bubble of junk.
It was just like everybody's so far apart and it's like there's no interaction,
right? I completely agree. So yeah, there's a big explosion and this is where we get another Quicksilver scene,
which was like one of the awesomest parts of the last movie.
Yeah.
And it's tacked on. I thought it was stupid.
It's way
totally
long.
Totally tacked
it's
on.
It's way long. Yep. It's really cool looking. And then 10 minutes into it, you're like, what are we doing?
We're doing it again. Like, they liked it from the first one.
People really liked that last time. Let's do it again.
I thought it was cool, but
they did.
God, I mean, as I was watching it, I'm like, okay, I get it.
He's
fast. Saving every single person and doing a funny thing.
I thought the scene, like when he shows up, and like the initial explosion goes off and he's like moving
there.
Well yeah, and he's like moving stuff out of the way. Like if they would have just done that little thing and gotten the five X-Men out and then you just assume that he got everybody else out, I think that would
or
have been more effective.
Or just sped it up. I mean, it did there were a lot of laughs. Like it looked cool and there were funny parts, but man, I swear it was 15 minutes.
But it's
like
a tonal shift in the movie.
Yep.
Yeah. Because the movie isn't really funny.
Nope.
Yeah.
And or meant to be. But
no,
those like parts those parts are kind of played for laughs.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like,
and it was great the first time, and it is. I was like, I mean, I liked it, and I was just like, yeah,
seen it.
But it also felt like they said, yeah, people really liked that last time. We totally have to do that.
It
again.
Was
yeah.
more,
on
it,
right? And they did,
and they did again.
You know, it's interesting. You used to see that a lot more in movies, and you don't since the advent of home video,
right?
Like a reuse of a like
doing
a
the same thing
or,
again,
the recycle something because people go to the sequel. And you couldn't see the movies as readily.
Right.
And so when they would, you would repeat stuff like that, but it was almost like an encore. People were like, oh, I love this so much for the first time. I'm glad you're doing it again.
Right.
And like they would kind of turn a blind eye to that. Like, I mean, even going
we talked
back,
about it last time, but like the Abbott and Costello
would recycle their routines,
right.
You know, their because they were all left over from vaudeville, and they, you know, and so a lot of those routines would pop up in other movies. But I remember the first time I feel like a movie really got burned by that was Airplane 2.
Oh yeah,
because
it was the same
Airplane
the
2
same jokes?
Recycled a lot of the same jokes and or found new ways to and I. Slightly new ways to do
right.
Surely you can't be serious type stuff. And it was right as home video was taking off. Well, Airplane was so jam packed full of jokes that's one of the videos people made a point to get.
Yeah.
Cause there wasn't a lot to choose from and you knew Airplane was a great movie that you'd want to watch repeatedly. And it was crammed full of jokes, so you felt like you were getting bang for your buck. We keep in mind, videotapes were like $100.
Yeah. $101.99.
Yes.
And, Blockbuster.
At Blockbuster.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when people went to see Airplane 2, like, I know a lot of people were just like, but we've seen all these
and
jokes.
And quoting it. I mean, people knew that movie backwards and forwards.
Sure,
so they're like ahead of the movie.
It was one of the, I think it might be one of the first movies that people really like memorize, like it was like that and Caddyshack.
Yeah,
and
Caddyshack's the one that I remember.
Yeah,
Animal House. Too.
Yeah, yeah, and so like they kind of got burned by that.
But it's
weird to do it in today's age.
You never see that. And the most recent offender I can think of was Hangover 2.
Yes,
how do you make
two.
The exact same movie? Like it was not funny. I never even saw 3 because I was
three,
so upset at
so
2.
I like 3 is good because it's completely different.
Right, but
it's
I was burned by 2. I'm like, I was so mad that I went to see 2 and it was the same movie. I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I just didn't even want
to. Was 2 the one where he gets the face tattoo?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. I saw all 3 and
One is great.
No, two, one's great. Two is one.
Two is one.
I like
and
two.
Three, they like try to, you know, and it was, they were closing out the quote unquote trilogy, yeah. Which I'm like, okay, I think we need to stop abusing that term.
Yeah. Everything doesn't have to be a trilogy.
Right.
Just if you can end things at two, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, well, just because you made three movies doesn't mean you made a trilogy.
Correct.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not telling one story.
There's a whole dramatic, you know, purpose
the
behind the idea of
hangover
a
trilogy, like Star Wars, yeah. Indiana Jones,
Captain
just
America,
like the hero's
hangover,
journey,
yeah.
And all of that
hangover.
Stuff. Like, there's yeah. so many, there, you know, things based in literature that now we're just like, it's a trilogy. Because yeah. we get cut to three.
Just three, right.
Well,
right.
congratulations.
Good. Yeah. Like, good, I need you. The 50 Shades of Grey trilogy.
Give off.
So, yeah, so there's a big explosion. They get everybody out.
I think
out.
50 Shades of Grey wouldn't call it a trilogy. They would just call it a three-way.
A three-way?
Yeah.
A menage a trois?
Yeah.
The three-way collection is the Blu-ray that comes out.
So this is, you have Nightcrawler, Cyclops, and Jean Grey, and they have gotten themselves, they were coming back from a mall.
I love yeah. that they stole Xavier's car and went out to see a movie.
Empire Strikes Back.
Empire.
And yeah. then
I like that Jean Grey says, oh, the third one's never good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... Like, no, is she making a joke about X3 or this one?
Well, X3 is what they were trying yeah. to do, which I thought was funny because I'm like, oh, that's
yeah.
their...
No, they saw Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, right. They saw Jedi.
Yeah.
And they were talking about Empire.
They said Empire was better.
Yeah, and yeah. then she says, well, you know, the third one's never any good.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, so that I was wonder which one you're talking about there,
well,
Jean
Grey.
Well,
they clearly weren't talking about the movie they
no,
were
but
in.
No, but I was just like, wow. Like the most overt jab.
Yeah. You know, Brett Ratner sitting at home drinking a beer and like, oh,
you. Seriously,
like even
I was like in a movie, like, oh, come on,
to yeah. do that to like, yeah, I know,
you know, like, I didn't even want to do that movie. I want
like,
to do
Superman. You're pushing over a guy in a wheelchair,
right? I know,
you know,
it's like, really, he has psychic powers. He can pick himself up.
Yeah, you're like cow tipping him. Like, oh, just come on,
yeah,
really.
Yeah. We've beaten this horse as much as we can beat this horse.
Yeah, there's no horse left.
Yeah,
stop.
He's already dead.
How many movies this year are going to reference Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, one of them did him way better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they end up, they take, so this is where we see Stryker from Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
So they take.
Another airplane reference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They take Mystique and they take. Your main mutants. They don't.
Get the ones that people know. That one. Get the big paycheck ones.
Yeah, get that one too.
The rest of these, was that Jubilee?
Nah. Leave
right,
her there.
Right.
And I will say,
she won't do anything anyway.
I did like the viral marketing for this movie. They put out like an old like VHS style recruitment video that has Jubilee in the video. Mm.
Well, that's more than she did in the movie.
She had more lines in that viral marketing thing than she did in the movie.
This Fox with this new X-Men franchise is always, whoever's doing their marketing has been really good because Trask Industries had its own website.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like they spent a ton of money on making that website. It was intricate. You know, it looked really good. So their marketing team is good at kind of working that.
Yeah. For sure.
Especially with it being set 30, 20 years in the past, like making it look like
right.
it's
I thought that,
the time
that VHS thing was cool. I think it's on our Facebook page.
Yeah, it is.
Facebook.com/spoilers. So the Nightcrawler ends up jumping Jean and Scott onto the airplane, on the helicopter, and they're all in this helicopter together, and they go, as soon as they're flying, I was like, oh, we're at Alkaline Lake from X-Men 2. Okay. And unfortunately they gave away the big spoiler, which I thought was,
that's so, yeah,
I think like
they were like, please see this movie.
Right. And you know, I think giving away the Spider-Man thing pissed me off only because we knew he was in it.
Right.
You know, like you don't have to show him to us. We're there anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and
when you know he's there, because at least then you're not ruining it. But like, this one, no one would have known unless they put
you'd have no idea.
This is more offensive.
I do. I agree. I agree. This one is way more offensive.
And to make you think Wolverine's really in this movie.
And
he is. What I'm saying is, like, to put that in the trailer to get butts in seats and he's in a cameo.
Yeah.
Come on.
He was a cameo that they don't reference in the trailer for First Class either. Like, they don't even mention that he's in
there. Right. That's
when
what I was
cameo was one line.
Yeah,
was it a line or was it just a claw?
It was one line.
Does he say the line?
He does. Okay. He says it. But at least here, the Wolverine scene, it's extended.
It was fun.
And like, it was fun.
This is one of the parts that I liked.
Yeah.
They're trying to get these X-Men out, and they realize they just happen to find the generators that are in the same room as this cage. and Scott's like, Scott Summers is like, oh, it must be an animal in there. And
well, you hear like growling.
Yeah, and Jean Grey's like, it's not an animal, it's a man. And I was like, this could be really awesome. And they open, you know, they're being attacked. They open the cage, and of course, out steps Weapon X. They don't even call him Wolverine. No. They don't call him Logan. They don't call him anything. One of the guys goes,
although I would say if they were going to recast Wolverine,
yeah,
this would have been a great way to
this
do it.
This was the time to do it.
This is where you get Scott.
Yeah.
Scott Eastwood.
You sneak him in here and,
That's a good point, because the next Wolverine will be Old Man Wolverine, Old Man Logan. So you can have Hugh Jackman be in it. But in these flashbacks.
Right.
Here's the thing is like they love this de-aging technology. Why did they de-age him? He looks 50. No. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Like, he looks 50 in this scene.
Wolverine doesn't really age, so, I mean,
Hugh Jackman does.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman does.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, and he's not...
I still think he looks...
Yeah.
I mean, the dude gets buffer with every movie, which
not
is crazy.
Not this one.
Well, I thought he looked... I mean...
He's in shape, but he was nowhere near as big as he was in Days of Future Past.
Yeah, he was...
This was a big part.
I'm sure they were like, we want you to put on 30 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, for
and he
five
was like,
seconds.
Where's,
seconds.
That,
or,
where's that middle claw?
Because
that's not
maybe
happening.
You can just put some more cables on that helmet.
Yeah. Right?
And
hang those
tape
down.
Them to me.
Yeah.
Like around here.
Around this section.
Around here.
Right here.
It didn't bother... I mean...
No.
I know.
And
plus, he had 30 years to work out, so it's fine. This is pre...
And plus, at this point, you know, I was just... They're like, okay, now hold on. Mystique was Stryker the last
this
time.
This is the continuity error.
I'm out.
Yep. So, like, at the end of Days of Future Past, Mystique, you think that Wolverine is in the protect, like, he's owned by Stryker. Stryker's got him.
Yeah.
She
getting fished out of the drink.
Right. He blinks, and it's Mystique's eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
How in the F did he end up with Stryker?
No idea.
How did we get there? They're resetting their continuity. You're under the
Was he Bone Claws?
He was Bone Claws
in Days of Future Past.
Yeah, in the past version.
Yes.
Yes. He was Metal Claws in the future version. Because
he woke up and he's like, what the hell? Oh, and I got my Bone Claws.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Bone Claws.
Yeah. Oh, the Bone Claws. So somehow Stryker gets him again.
Got him anyway.
Yeah, so, I was like,
he still got him.
What happened?
So I guess
he said something to that point, like it's going to happen. But he knew it was going to happen because he has metal claws.
He has metal claws,
right?
And that, I mean, you know, they like I said,
so
they give that
point,
away in the trailer.
He has to go through that.
But why'd they put that Mystique part at the end of Days of Future Past?
I don't know.
That's the problem. Shouldn't have done
is
that.
Singer directed that movie too,
right?
Like, he should know his own continuity at that point.
But it has been 10 years. Technically, he did.
Sure, something else could have happened
years,
in that 10 years.
So, I mean, he didn't not get it right because we don't know what happened in 10 years. But it's just a stupid, unexplained
it's dumb.
Thing.
Also,
you know?
Basically, the next movie is basically Singer trying to figure out all of the... fuzzy details.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot.
So, there's another... So, this is, you know, Wolverine Weapon X tears through everybody. And it was like, if we can get that in a rated R Wolverine movie, I'm in.
He does some murdering.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
He goes feral. Yeah. As, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
at this point, he doesn't know where... He is an animal. He does not know where
and
he
that,
is.
The Barry Windsor Smith, if you can find it, I'm sure it's available in trade somewhere. It's like a 7-part story that was like a backup story in a Marvel Comics Presents. Pick that up. The Barry Windsor Smith art is... untouchable, like it's amazing, and he looks just like this. He's got.
Well,
the
how can I pick it up? I mean, if it's untouchable,
it's a. With,
how do
well,
I?
You can do it on digital.
You can get it on digital.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Thank you. He's got like the longer hair. He's got all the cables sticking out of him. He's got the whole thing.
I thought it was good. I liked the Wolverine part, and then it was over. I'm like, oh
it's over. So then there was also weird sexual.
But it was
tension.
Also one of those things that was kind of like, well, let's put this in here.
Yeah. Like we got to get something. There was also so if you've seen these movies, you know that there is, a relationship, a sexual relationship between Jean and Logan. It's been like that forever. It's been like that in the comic books forever. They sort of reference in here with a 16-year-old Jean Grey and a 40-year-old Logan. That was really weird.
Well, where, like, she, I mean, all she does is like
go back and watch that scene and look at the way like they're supposed to be looking at each other, and like Logan immediately is like, how you doing?
I didn't take it like that.
Absolutely.
Really, isn't he like an 104-year-old?
Right.
At that point, yes. Yeah, probably. So she unlocks just enough of his memories
to know Logan
to call him Logan, and then he runs out into the snow.
Yeah,
and that's the last time
she skips
Wolverine.
Over Origin. She makes sure not to.
We don't
give
call him
any Origin.
We don't call him James. We don't call him any of that.
So basically, now at this point, what we have done is we're now we haven't wiped out X-Men 3, The Last Stand. We're now wiping out X-Men 2
and 1.
Yeah,
that's all
because
gone.
We've now wiped out his exit,
correct,
so to speak, from X-Men 2,
yep,
which is sort of, it was self
induced.
He did it himself.
Yeah, he left on his own.
He broke himself out.
Right.
Right.
And now it's like, well,
it's
hold on.
This
movie, why are you messing with that movie?
But the Days of Future Past, I mean, if you watch The Flash, I mean, think about how one thing, the butterfly effect.
I mean, I know.
They've changed so much that, I mean, I could see this being a different timeline. I mean, things are going to be a little
it's
different.
It's alternate 1985.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Alternate 1983.
1983.
Yeah. But Bowling for Soup song is going to be totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus, President Max Headroom totally got the shaft in this movie.
But yeah, they I think they have completely gutted the original trilogy. I use that term loosely.
But I think that makes sense because the thing is, this is now movie number 9. They've already rebooted with the Days of First Class, Days of Future Past. By the time we get another 10 years forward, it's not like those same actors can play the older ones. So they have to
Days
make
of Future
an alternate
Past, basically, Days of Future Past was, they could just call the movie, we're like, well, we're just trying to do Days of Future
Days
Past,
of
a.k.a. contract negotiations.
Yeah, it is. I mean, so I'm not so bad with them like wiping out X1 and X2 because this is, they've gone back
X2's,
and they've changed things.
X2 is the best movie they've ever done.
I'm not saying I don't like the movie. What I'm saying is they have to somehow reboot it.
Yeah.
And so if they make minor changes and now this timeline doesn't follow X2, you can still always go watch X2.
Yeah. I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm in the camp of like, just because they're rebooting something doesn't mean the original one that you loved is gone.
Yeah. No, but I also think about like how effective and how good, and it goes back to what I was talking about. I was like, on a smaller scale and a more contained scale, just like having Lady Deathstrike and that whole sequence where she and Logan fight.
Yep.
And it was like, you know, because when she kind of reveals herself, you're like, and how good that was. And it was like, it's because they did have budget limitations.
Well, that's the problem.
And they did have technology limitations.
Is in the Wolverine, that character is in the Wolverine. Like, she's his friend.
Yes.
Like, that character in the Wolverine becomes Lady Deathstrike. And I was like, well, wait a minute. If she's here, like, what, this doesn't make...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know.
So anyway.
Is that Yuki or whatever?
Yeah. She becomes Lady Deathstrike. Like, in the original books, she was like... part of the hand, it doesn't matter. She's part of the hand, and then she, like, Wolverine is like, I don't like you, I like her, and she ends up becoming Lady Deathstrike because Wolverine scorned her. Mm. So anyway, they get everybody
she
out.
In relation to Lady Picture Show?
No, she's different.
Okay.
Yeah. they get everybody out, and then Apocalypse kind of kidnaps Charles Xavier and kind of makes him broadcast this thing through.
Who's doing the magic bubble, by the way?
What magic bubble?
The magic bubble.
I think it's Apocalypse. Around him.
Is that Apocalypse's magic bubble?
Yeah, I think it's Apocalypse.
I was thinking so, yeah. That's how he just transports everybody.
He's stolen all these different mutant powers.
Yeah, okay.
So.
I just didn't know if like it was he or one of his crew. But
yeah, I think
so.
I think
we didn't mention that back when they were back at the mansion. So Apocalypse finds that you can contact everybody in the world.
Xavier accidentally gets in his brain, and then
so he hacks Cerebro.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're connected, and so Apocalypse is like, "Oh,
thank you."
Yeah,
I picture him as like the Kool-Aid Man.
Like,
he gets connected to Xavier's mind and is using him as Cerebro.
Like a conduit. Yeah.
And I think he basically tells. Is this where
Havoc says destroy Cerebro?
He says wreak
havoc, and I was chicken noise you. Like, come on.
Yeah, it was that.
Jeez.
Because I was in a dark theater, I had to go eye roll.
Almost like if they get to Cyclops and he was like, you've only got like beams coming out of one thing, like a Cyclops.
Yeah, I know. I literally eye rolled so hard, I hurt my neck.
I was like, oh, good, they killed that character. Perfect. That's exactly what needs to happen. 40-year-old Havoc needed to die.
Yeah.
Now we've got a big fight sequence. Like, there's a big, they've amplified Magneto's power, so now he's using
he can get the Earth's
gravitational
metal out of
metal
out of the dirt, like the ground.
Well,
I think
he's changing like the magnetic pull in the Earth,
but he's manipulating the elements.
Will destroy the planet.
Bingo.
And that's they're not that invincible.
No. Yeah.
They're
no.
not like Ice Age invincible.
Yeah. Does he then like spin it backwards so Lois Lane is still alive?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? As much as I love that movie, that is the scene where I was like, yeah. Oh my God.
Well, yeah, that's even as impossible. A kid, I was like, what?
"I don't think so."
Well,
I'm pretty sure if you
it's almost over and I got to pee.
If
so
you,
I'll, yeah.
if you
I'll
spin the
it.
Earth background, yeah. everything's going to come off the Earth. Yeah. I think yeah. that's the way that
it's
works.
Because they were like, I mean, they were able to like after the rage moment of Superman and that
still
movie,
one of my favorite scenes,
which is amazing.
Yeah,
it's like all right,
yeah,
man, and
he's
the lecture
up in the air,
and the.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the
cloud dad,
the cloud lecture from Marlon Brando, and then you know, you,
well, you had to put him in a cloud because we didn't have thumb drives yet.
Yeah. That's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah. That's a
and
good
then,
point.
And yeah. then Glenn Ford chiming in, you're like, well, okay,
yeah.
And
Glenn Ford talking about the screaming cows.
Yeah,
or
it is kind of
yeah.
dumb.
Oh, I saw the screaming cows open for the Pixies
did
back
you?
In the day.
Did you see them for Acid Bath?
They
yeah.
were so.
They were
good.
Also very.
Yeah, I saw them, and it was you know the opening act for them was a hero cake. Thank you. Good night. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Yeah. So there's a big fight sequence where everybody's fighting each other. Charles Xavier.
Is that what happens in fight sequences?
Everybody's.
So
know,
this is now the.
I would love to hear
off.
You know, a synopsis of a porn
where they bone
everybody's
each other and then there's sweatiness.
Porn in each other.
Yeah. They're porn in each other. They're making these experimental films.
I'm porn the out of her.
Yeah.
So this is now the third
exposition to get all the crap out of this scene. Yeah.
This is the third movie this year where you have like teams fighting each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've got
Storm and Magneto are bad guys against Xavier and you know like
it's
people you know
big,
that are all fighting against each
fight.
Other.
Yeah, this one's so yeah, so big.
They, so Apocalypse is trying to transfer his consciousness into Charles Xavier, which makes him lose his hair somehow.
Because it had to happen eventually.
That's a thing. So finally, Apocalypse.
I really want to know the origin of Professor X's male pattern baldness.
Finally.
Now we know.
This is like, that's just this close to being the origin story of Jack's tattoo on Lost. even the showrunners are like, that was a low point where they were like, we got to wrap this.
They said it was the worst episode ever.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They did.
And
it is.
That's pretty good.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
They didn't know it was Jack's tattoo.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Just like, what? I mean, it was an hour to find out, like, this is why he got his tattoo. And yeah. like, but I don't
And they
care.
Never talked about it again.
Because his tattoo had no bearing on anything.
Was it like a big old chest piece?
No, it was a mistake.
Yeah, it was like a barbed wire tattoo. It turned out he was just really into Red Hot Chili Peppers in the 90s. Like, that's all it was.
I love that Carlin
But
joke.
What was even stupider, though, is that it's the actor's tattoo. So it's
yeah.
like...
Oh,
it's,
he has like a real tattoo
it's
in
a
real life.
Tattoo that
so
he
they
has.
Made an episode around why his
So, like,
character.
They wrote the tattoo into the storyline.
That was like his whole Thailand story. It was a mistake.
And when The Rock started acting, they would start putting, like, digitally taking out his tattoos.
Yeah. Right.
And now he's got the one that's, like, you know, halfway down his elbow. They're like, whatever.
Well, yeah, I saw in the picture he posted for Fast 8 that he has the Brahma Bull.
Yeah,
are they just going to leave that?
Yeah.
Hobbs now has,
yeah, he has
the
Brahma
Rock.
Bull. Yeah,
leave
okay.
It. Yeah. Leave it.
What's the point?
Yeah.
We know who he is. It's fine.
Well, right.
So this is Apocalypse that kind of gets the upper hand on Charles Xavier, and he thinks he's going to win.
He's crippled.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
He just has to leave
not
him laying
the,
on
not
some
in
rocks.
The dreamscape.
No, but yeah. I mean, it, you know, really, it's just like he just lay there. Rock. You know, what do you do?
This is where Dokken came in. They did Dream Warriors. It was great. So he looks at, you know, like he contacts Jean Grey.
You know, going back to the other movie of the week,
yeah.
The Dokken actually does have a song called Mattis Hatter.
Yeah. They do?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's actually a pretty good song.
Dokken.
But did they do a sequel called Saddest Hatter? That's what I
It's a power ballad.
Yeah, okay.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the B-side.
Yeah. So he ends up connecting to Jean Grey and says, don't be afraid and let it go,
yeah.
pretty much.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not going to lie. Like I said, Jean
Jump
Grey
ahead
is...
in your storyline about 20 years.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, I was like, she would have... I mean, I feel like she had...
She
like,
has...
It would show up every once
Phoenix,
in a while.
And there's Dark Phoenix.
Right.
But we
this
barely got Marvel Girl.
This is Marvel Girl.
We,
this
well,
is
yeah,
the
we
Phoenix.
Had Marvel... Well, okay, but Marvel Girl becomes Phoenix.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
Like, we kind of
right.
got Marvel Girl because they put on some flight suits.
Right.
Because they
not,
hear
it's
a,
not
yeah.
green,
oh, look,
it's not,
flight suits.
That was awful.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Like, Scott Summers walks over and touches it. And he was like, hey, look at these.
Hey, look at these guys' flight suits.
Yeah, I know. I was like,
oh, my God.
That's terrible. And see, what I liked about First Class is, like, they did, you
they
know,
like the 60s costumes.
The 60s costumes, and they were blue and yellow.
They were blue and yellow.
Like, yep. They did the blue and yellow, and it was awesome. Good.
There's a great video. Have you guys seen the video about X-Men costumes and why they don't have to be black and macabre?
Like, well, they're black, and I will say that they became black. Grant Morrison did that.
Well, and it was the right
time. In response
time,
to the movie.
And saying, it was the right time for that movie. Right. Because it would have been like, and they also would not have been able to do the blue and yellow right.
Right.
And the fact that they did blue and yellow for, you know, a 60s set film.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, yeah, okay.
I get that. Yeah. But like, there's a great video out right now talking about costumes, and it shows all the X-Men costumes and how they won't give them their classic costumes. And it's like, you can do that and make it bright and colorful and fun. Like, well, it's just a great video.
But you know, when you do give them their classic costumes, they look stupid. Yeah. As I noticed in the end of this movie. Yeah. I was
They make that reference in Captain America. In the first Captain America, he walks out in the traditional, and it looks stupid.
That's fun. And that's why you're like, that's why they didn't do it.
But pay an homage, though. It's just they don't have to be black on black on black. You know?
I totally agree.
I just want a little bit of
When that movie, when the 2000 version came out, Grant Morrison was writing the X-Men, and he gave them those black suits.
And it was the time.
It made sense.
2000.
And then, what's his name? Joss Whedon. Came out and wrote Astonishing X-Men and put them back into the blue and the blue and the yellows.
Yeah,
and then that's where they've been ever since. Like, they
did he
really
write on X2?
Joss Whedon?
Did Joss Whedon?
No,
do any writing
Zach Penn
on?
Did.
Okay. No, Joss Whedon wrote on the first one. He's responsible for the Toad line.
But he's explained that. Have you heard him explain it?
Yes.
He said that was a throwaway line, and freaking Halle Berry
played it up.
Do you know what a Toad does? What lightning does to a Toad?
Was supposed to be just like,
you know,
same thing as everything else.
You know what a Toad does? Yeah, everything else. Like, it was a small throwaway line.
She tried to make it.
And she made it a dramatic, like, it's so stupid.
Well, she tried.
Yeah, Joss Whedon can write, so I'm not saying he's 100%, but like, he didn't write it to be that. Apparently.
No. So this is where she unleashes the Phoenix Force. I'm not gonna lie, I thought that was cool. Like, she stands there, and she, like, the fire is in the shape of the Phoenix, and she ends up beating Apocalypse. and then, like,
Gladys Knight in the Apocalypse.
Gladys Knight in the Apocalypse. Oh, I hope we don't get sued for that one.
Of all the things we said,
that's the one we're going to get dinged for.
Yeah.
So they end up beating Apocalypse. I guess they knock his armor off and then they destroy him.
Yeah.
They just disintegrate him. Phoenix Force disintegrates him.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if
she's more powerful.
She is more. She's the most powerful. That the Phoenix Force is the most powerful entity in the universe. And then they flash forward, and now Mystique is leading the X-Men, I guess. Has it been, and her costume kind of represents the costume she kind of wears in the comics, where it's the blue and the white. And then
everybody's in there magical. Before the big battle, when they get on the ships and they get their awesome flight suits that they find, you're no longer students.
You're
now X-Men. Okay, Mystique, what authority do you have, second of all?
I kept waiting for her to turn into Debbie Allen from Fame. You want superpowers? Well, this is where you get them. You pay for them in sweat.
It's just like such a stupid line, and it's like, you're not turning people into X-Men. You're not a professor. And it's like, these kids have been students for like 3 weeks. Like, they are students because they've been at school for 3 weeks.
Scott just got there like 2 days ago.
Yeah. So like, come on, that's just a stupid trying to be like the big speech, the Joan of Arc speech or whatever, you know. It's just,
so all the kids,
all
the kids turn around and they're all wearing versions of their costumes. And actually, I like the Cyclops. I've always liked that Cyclops costume from the 90s because it's so terrible.
Dumb. Like, I'm going to need a belt over here and over here. Not for my pants.
No, just
I
for
need
my
one
shirt.
Around my arm and around the middle
and
of my chest.
It connects with an X button, just so you know.
Because it's does nothing.
No,
but
it's not. It's not a communicator. It's
can
not anything.
You have more belts,
like, more pouches.
I don't remember seeing those costumes, but we saw this movie 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
at the very end,
and
like,
I'm
Scott
like,
turns around and he is and rocking like the gym.
I remember them all in the mansion, but I don't remember all the costumes.
And there they are, and I'm like, I'm like, do you think they did that as a gag because you can't really see? No, I mean Cyclops. Oh. They're like, oh, hey, Cyclops, we got your new costume for you. Hey, oh, cool, guys. What's this?
Wait.
Oh, it's it's badass.
Why
you
do I feel like
it.
I'm a crossing guard?
But why do I have is this a belt? No, man. No, it's part of your costume.
All right, cool, man. Whatever.
Beast made it.
Yeah. And then this is the scene that I really liked, is you get the throwback to the first X-Men where Xavier and Magneto kind of have that talk The same exact speech, which actually I liked.
I love their relationship in these movies. I think the Magneto,
I actually
Xavier,
like, except for it's friendlier in this one.
It is friendlier in this one. And I guess that has to do with the timeline shift.
I guess.
They've been through,
also,
we've seen them being through more in this. Like,
but they have the same speech, but now it's 10 years before they have the speech.
Correct.
Wait, what?
Yeah, what? But actually, I like the chemistry between...
Old people repeat themselves.
I like the chemistry... I mean,
yeah,
sometimes...
At some point between this movie and 10 years from now, Michael Fassbender turns into Ian. Yeah.
Turns into Ian McKellen.
He turns into Ian McKellen.
40,
like,
50 years old.
Happened?
And also, sometimes old people repeat themselves.
Yeah.
What? Do they?
But somewhere between this movie and 10 years from now...
Oh, boy, they're in the loop, Joe.
Oh, no!
They're in the loop. We got to save them.
Fix the continuity.
Press the reset button.
But actually, I like the chemistry between...
Can someone bring me a fresh glass of Ensure?
Didn't we get... We don't have the mini fridge in the undisclosed location.
I know. We should get one of those next time.
I think the expiration date on your Metamucil was passed.
What we really need is just a urinal in the corner.
Well, you don't, but I'm sorry about that.
There is a sump pump right there.
Anybody mind if I just pee straight into the sump pump?
No, man, go for it.
You know I got to go when it kicks on.
What's that noise in the recording you guys have every 10 minutes?
I just want to make sure it's working.
Don't worry about it.
I just want to make sure they fixed it.
Was it raining that day?
It was. Very hard. Very hard.
One steady stream of rain.
Right into the sump pump.
Now, I think at our screening, so that pretty much wraps it up.
I get kidney stones, it sounds like hail.
Ting, 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 ting.
So I think we missed an after credit sequence. They only play.
So the after credit sequence is four suit guys in suits go into.
The after credit sequence was like a day on the second unit went in with some
buddies,
some people, and so, walked around.
So they go into the Weapon X facility and they find a vial that just says Weapon X, and they take it. And they put it in a suitcase, and they close it. And the suitcase
and the suitcase
says,
has other colors,
but we don't know what they are.
So we don't know what they're collecting.
No, well, they're collecting
fluids.
Something. But
right,
suitcase is when they close it, it says the Essex Corporation. Which is
what?
Essex.
Oh, okay. No, thank you.
Which is like, well, I guess we know what kind of fluids are collecting. Yeah.
which leads into
fluids.
Super precious. Leads into Mr. Sinister.
Yeah.
Will probably be the villain.
So in the 90s.
It'll be Mr. Sinister. Which, I mean, in the 90s books, Mr. Sinister was a huge thing.
So we should have.
And now sounds stupid.
Yeah.
Wait. Mr. Sinister.
I'm Mr. Sinister.
Mr. Sinister. Nathan Essex.
All right. It sounds like the villain in a Rankin and Bass Christmas special.
I'm stealing Baby New Year.
You know what? If he wears the costume,
the Mr. Sinister costume.
Yeah, the Mr. Sinister outfit. I want the weird little wing things. I want the diamond in his forehead.
He's going to send him to an alternate universe where the spin doctors are the best band ever.
Oh, God, so yeah, that's the after. And I think that's a hint that it's going to be X-23 is going to be the new Wolverine, which is a female clone of Wolverine. I think apparently that's the hint. I don't know how or why, but.
You're saying they're going to replace Wolverine with the female Wolverine?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's a big, I mean, she's a big character now.
Yeah.
She wasn't, I mean, she's
do
only.
Do you think Fox will do that?
I think if Hugh Jackman says, Hugh Jackman said, I'm done.
Yeah.
So I think they could either go Lady Wolverine or.
It depends.
Now, is she related to the Lady Picture Show?
No.
Okay.
Oh, the second time.
They're doing it again. They're doing it again, Joe. We need a button to press that just resets this.
But yeah, I think that...
do you think if... well, I guess it depends if Captain Marvel is a success.
If they
go with Lady Thor, which I'm curious if Marvel would go that route.
They could, or they go Better Ray Bill. That's the way I'd go.
So
that's the way I'd... That's what I, but yeah, I'd be interesting. Obviously, DC is going to have Wonder Woman and then... Supergirl on TV,
Harley Quinn,
yeah. And then Marvel's going to have. I think they're honestly going to introduce Jessica Drew at some point, unless Sony owns the rights to her. But I don't know if they do or not. But yeah, Captain Marvel, Black Widow. I don't know why they don't introduce She-Hulk. Like, if you can't do a Hulk movie, why don't you just introduce his cousin, who's the exact
same
thing?
The problem is they can't do a Hulk movie.
They can't do a Hulk movie.
But do they own She-Hulk?
That's the question.
I guess, is that anything
with the Hulk in the name?
Right.
That would be my guess.
Plus, how do you have a
She-Hulk without a Hulk?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to. But they've already introduced Bruce Banner in the Marvel Universe, so they can just say, I mean, if you want to do their actual origin where they do a blood transfusion and that's why she becomes the She-Hulk.
But I'm just saying, like, by virtue of definition, she, her existence from a storytelling standpoint revolves around, it's not like there's a Hulk and then Bruce Banner is He-Hulk.
Right.
Oh, okay. You know what I mean? Yeah, but I'm just thinking, like, if you can't use the Hulk and
well, that's like saying, well, we don't have Superman, but let's use Supergirl.
I'd be all right with that.
But given what they've done so far.
But how do you tell that story? I don't know. I don't know how you would. That's, I mean,
you
that's
show
the question.
A shadowy figure with a cape floating.
Well, we don't have Batman, but we got Robin.
I'll take a Robin movie. That'd be great. Not just don't put Zack Snyder in charge of it because he just beat him and then probably try to rape them or something. I don't know.
So, oh, God. Well, so, I mean, the Jason Todd.
Yeah,
would be
he's having fun with it, bro. I mean, he would die in the first 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So I sat through the credits and I, you know, at that point I was like, all right,
glassing over.
I'm just,
well,
like,
you were sleeping still.
And then they had that and I was like, yeah, that was like, usually these post credit sequences, there's like,
even the
like,
one for Days of Future Past
carrot
wasn't,
this wasn't, this wasn't even a baby carrot. Yeah. You know, this was like the,
we didn't see it,
shaved
that
carrot that,
like
that you see in a salad,
like the crinkle cut carrot.
Yeah. It was like, no, that would be fancy. This was just like a,
that sounds terrible.
This is like shaved carrot that you just put, you know, to dress up a plate.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You don't eat
garnish.
It. Yeah.
Garnish.
It was just carrot. Like,
even the end sequence for Days of Future Past, I was like, whatever.
I think ultimately what it comes down to is they're never going to top that first one where they tell you they're forming the Avengers.
That's true.
Right.
I don't know. Like, every time they would do one, though, you're like, oh, yeah.
Well, the Marvel ones are good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they've Marvel's, never gotten
the last one was weird
of goodness.
The last one was strange.
Which
where
was
it's like, they gave him a watch.
Huh?
That's the thing. They gave Spider-Man a watch.
Maybe he's retiring.
he was retiring
from Sony. Thank you for your time.
Here's your signal watch.
Yeah. I mean, even like having the Avengers eating shawarma, which I think, you know, was more of like a goof on the post credit sequence.
Right, right.
Fun. Yeah.
You know,
it was like, what was the one in Thor: The Dark World where like the thing is still loose and on the earth and
it's just running around
in like the dockyard or whatever.
I liked the Howard the Duck was in
Howard the Duck one was good.
Guardians, right?
Yeah, that was a good one.
I mean,
little,
that was Crypto. Yeah.
Cosmo the space dog.
Cosmo, yeah.
Crypto
yeah.
Superman
yeah.
dog.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah. So
the Dire Wolf.
Yeah. So this was
It's not
I left
franchise.
This movie with thinking it was eh.
Yeah.
Men.
I didn't like it.
I enjoyed this movie.
I found it super
X-Men.
Boring.
X-Men. Yes, X-Men. I honestly, you know, Tom and I saw this movie 3 days after Civil War came out. 3 days. And so the only thing I could think of was there was Civil War is not only a good superhero movie, it's a really good film.
Yeah.
Overall. And so seeing it that close, I really enjoyed this as a popcorn movie, but you keep thinking of how good Civil War was, and I think that's ultimately the problem. But if this came out in March,
that's a problem. So, and it wasn't a problem for you, and you saw it close.
We
haven't.
Saw, yeah, I saw
it.
I
saw
like,
it yesterday.
I just still think
and
we have an expectation.
I still
though.
Feel like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I didn't
have any expectations. I felt like at a certain point, the, you know, like Singer's taking his hands off the wheel.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's starting to, like, I think he's indulging his own whims, and I feel like they're not, you know,
it was like Superman Returns.
They need to tighten the bolts on this thing a little bit, and they're just like, well, we're just
going
to reboot.
Yeah, they're going loosey goosey with the timeline, with the characters,
the continuity.
And I also think that it was too big for its britches. I think the battle sequence at the end is like, yeah, we know you can make it look cool. But, like, there was no, you know.
We know these,
like,
characters aren't going to die.
Like, there's Magneto way over there. And he's in a bubble of crap. And then there's, like, these two fighting over there. And there's, like, oh, cool, Psylocke. Oh, never mind.
Yep.
Okay, so, you know, it was just, like, it was so big, but there wasn't, like, that intimate, like, I didn't feel any tension. I was just like, eh, oh, good, now she's Phoenix. And I feel like we just jumped way too far into that storyline.
Way
line.
Too far. And I don't think, you know, I don't think they're going to touch that storyline. I think they did it in X-Men 3, and it was like, we should never do that again.
Well, I think they are going to do it. That's my fear. Is like, well,
that's what you think for the next one, or for the, like, two down the road.
Well, I guess it depends on how they can form the next movie with these new actors, and if they want to pony up and pay for the rest
the
of
the space
them.
World.
The thing is that
the Shi'ar and all that stuff.
If they really are fighting, you know, if what's her name isn't going to come back as Mystique, and she has some sway over.
The other two,
it's like, well, you got to have Professor X, you know? And if
you could kill him. They've killed him before.
Yeah, a lot.
You know, they killed him a lot.
Yeah.
He's dead right now.
Yeah. There's no way they'll do it without those two.
Why?
I
don't need them.
I'm just saying with like, the way
they're not important into in this movie. They're not important at all.
Yeah, we don't need Magneto again for a while.
Yeah.
I would take a break from Magneto.
Yeah.
Because he's been in everything. He's been in everything. Like, we need a break from him. So when he comes back, it's like,
I can see that.
Go ahead and.
I just feel like he's kind of a selling point.
He picked up a stadium. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So, like, at this point, it's like, you know, what we more? Should. Take a breather.
It's almost like Batman or Superman, where they have so many villains, but we've seen Magneto for 9 movies. Like, Magneto has been a point in these movies the entire time.
Now we're going to get Mr. Sinister. So I take it all back. It's totally going to be awesome.
Well, you get
No, I was indifferent.
I was not a big fan. I don't think it's a franchise killer, but I definitely think it is the worst that they've done.
It's funny that Tom and I saw it so close to Captain America and both enjoyed it.
Like, I was fine with it. Like, I wasn't, like, I'm not going to sit here and I don't have any passion for it. Like, I'm not going to defend it. But, like, having sat through Batman versus Superman and Man of Steel that I just have nothing but hatred for, I was like, that. And I've never been in love with the X-Men franchise. Like, I mean, there's been some that I've liked and there's been a lot that I haven't. Yeah. Or I've just largely been indifferent. And so I went in thinking, like, I'm not in the mood to see this movie. And I walked out going, man, that wasn't miserable.
Yeah. Like, same that here. Was. And I love Batman. I mean, he's my number one guy, you know? And I this a lot more than Beav versus.
Yeah.
I
mean, good Lord. Like, yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, if I was going to have a passion for something.
I
want to
go watch The Spirit before I watch
Oh, God.
Well,
no.
You have it.
I do. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
That's true.
So.
Okay, well.
Torn, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I'm not going to defend it. I get what you're saying. I just, like, it just
felt like
I
was a popcorn movie to me.
I think it mostly, I just felt like it was kind of like a mess with the heritage that they've kind of built up.
And, you know, and maybe I would feel differently. And this is probably the real ultimate disconnect is I've never really read X-Men comics as much as I love comics. I've never been an X-Men guy. And
it's
so
tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
And so, like, I also have like zero. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not watching a movie going, but that's not what happens.
Yeah.
And so I have none of that.
Yeah.
Where when I watch a Batman movie, I'm like, oh, sweet baby Jesus. What
I actually
doing?
Stopped right? reading the X-Men around the time that Cyclops started wearing belts on his shirt.
That's when I started reading the X-Men.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is so bad.
That Jim Lee, Chris Claremont issue was ridiculous. Oh, like, that was the highest selling book of all time for a long time.
Yeah.
It might still be.
I probably think still is because they had like 9 different covers. And everybody thought that they were going to put their kids through school.
He had the gatefold cover
and it was just like you all there's 9 covers, you bought 6 of each and you're like the 50th guy in the store. So you got to ask yourself, who are you planning to sell this book to
exactly
that doesn't already
and
own
now
it?
You can get it for $5
maybe. Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
I remember people used to, when I went to comic store, people used to come in and be like, you want to buy this?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'll pay a quarter for it.
No, we had like 2 long boxes full of them.
Yeah, this register's propped up by an entire collection
because
of those.
The thing is, they would sell,
you
know, but I think at the time they were, and the guy, they priced it like $10.
I think that's probably right.
The store I worked at would blow them out for like $4.50 because he had paid. He bought them all when they came out. So he paid wholesale on them. So there was, what, $1.25 issue or something?
Even then, I guess it...
$1.50 maybe. So he was getting them at Costco. He's had them, bought them for like 75 cents.
Yeah,
so $4.50.
A few
done.
Bucks on each
And he knew, like, he's like, we'll sell 10 a week like this.
Done.
Yeah.
Didn't you have a story of some other comic that you did that where they...
Yeah.
What was that?
He had...
Bane?
No, he had a bunch of Amazing Spider. What's the first Venom? $2.99?
$2.98.
So he would just sell
not
those
the
all...
cameo, but the first
then
full
$2.99.
One.
Yeah,
the real one.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and
$2.98, $2.99, and $300 are the three.
Yeah, like, and so $98 is like a panel at the end.
Yes,
and then the
I think $98 is Eddie Brock.
Is that what it is?
And then $99 is Venom, and then $300 is full Venom. Yeah,
and so and it was like a $75 book. He sold for $45, but he bought them all. He knew. He's like, that's going to be a key issue.
Yeah.
He bought a box.
That's still.
Like, yeah.
So we can sell them for $45 all day long.
We have those at the shop right now for $200.
Yeah. And I bet you he still has a box of them at his
shop. That's what they go for now. That one and then like $252, which is the first appearance of the black suit that Spider-Man wears, the black suit.
Right.
It's like a $200 issue.
Yeah. So, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yeah. So I was thinking about messy retcon and time travel. And I was like, well, what movie can I, you know, even compare this to considering all that's happened over the last couple of movies? And I do think that the last movie was just did a much better job of cleaning up the mess.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think this one kind of just
messed it up again.
I think it messed it up again. That I think that's my big. I don't hate the movie. I just think it messed it up.
Days of Future Past was so good.
Yeah, like that was a movie where I was like, I don't even know how they're gonna make that movie. And it's like X
two Days of Future Past. Like,
yeah, just messed it up again. So there was I was like, what was that one movie I saw in the 80s? And it was 1980, and it was a movie called The Final Countdown.
Oh,
we're just making all sorts of song references.
Yeah. Did that song play?
Yeah, no.
In the movie? No. Okay.
But, and it's this movie, and I think the biggest takeaway from this movie is that it was filmed aboard the USS Nimitz. So it was actually filmed aboard a battleship, aircraft cruiser. And it was, it's an okay movie. You could actually just watch a weirdly cropped version on YouTube if you want. That's what I did. Because I didn't want to spend $3 on it. But it's a movie. It's got Martin Sheen, Kirk Douglas, Charles Durning, and James Franco, who was a big name back in the 70s.
Wait a minute.
Not James Franco.
I was going to say, what?
Not James. Hold on. I got it.
Because I was like, whoa, is he a vampire?
there was Tony Franciosa. And what was the other guy? James Ferrantino. Sorry.
Okay.
Who was big in the 80s and really James, big in the 70s.
Well, I don't recognize that name.
James Ferrantino? You'll recognize him. I think he was always like guest starring on shows of that
The Love Boat.
Era.
He was on the Snake Plissken episode.
And so anyway, it's this Martin Sheen's like an advisor, and a mysterious benefactor wants him to go on the Nimitz. They're going to go on.
It's funny. It says he's in 100 television. He's nearly 100 TV shows and film appearances. But like none of them must have mattered, because literally the first thing it lists in his Wikipedia entry is among them The Final Countdown.
Yeah. This was like his hurrah. So they're just doing some maneuvers, and then there's like a laser vortex kind of laser rock kind of effect going on. If you went to the planetarium back in the day, you would have seen this.
Sure.
And the Nimitz gets sucked back in time into December 5th, 1941, basically right before Pearl Harbor. So there's this whole sort of like moral debate on what they should they intervene, should they not intervene, and in the process, the James Ferrantino gets left behind on an island, and they're about to go and fight the Japanese with modern aircraft and modern weaponry. And but then the vortex comes again and sucks them away, so you know time wins. And then, yeah, and
sounds really interesting.
It's the premise. It's sounds campy, and I mean it is one of those ones where you're like, but you know, so they what happens at the very end is that the benefactor ends up being the ace pilot from the ship who got stuck back in time. So he reveals himself, and the guy, so he's like, suddenly he's old.
Yeah.
And that's who, you know, told Martin Sheen to go on the ship. And this is the guy who, you know, because this guy did a lot of the designs on the cruiser. So it's sort of like what they did is adjust time to be exactly as we know it.
Right.
So we don't know what time was like before then.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's sort of like it's a cheat. Because it's like, at the end you're like, aha, they made it exactly how we'd know it. So they didn't have to imagine an alternate reality. They're just like, well, we don't know what that was like before.
This was like this now.
Yeah, so maybe they could do that for the next one.
Yeah, here's open. We'll figure it out, I hope.
Yeah, it's worth, I mean, if you get an hour,
that's 20, a good flick.
26 yeah. minutes, on you can watch it on YouTube.
Well, thank you, Dan.
My pleasure.
So I guess that's it for this episode. So I guess next week will be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. Is that next week?
Pop Star?
Oh, wait. I normally don't do comedies.
Yeah.
Apparently, okay. Kevin really wanted to see Pop Star.
I just think it looks really funny.
I won't stop you from seeing
it. No, I know.
I mean, we normally steer clear of comedies.
Yeah.
If we see it and we think differently, because I'll end up seeing it, I'm sure.
Sure.
But like sometimes
I think it's seen it. No, yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 will have a lot more material.
Yes.
So I think
one
that's
way
the movie.
Or another.
Less.
Oh, I know which
for
way.
For good or for bad.
I know
most
which
likely
way.
For bad.
Yeah. Just go ahead and throw up the air quotes on material right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So
hey, it's got Arrow in it.
Yeah, it does
it's Casey
have,
Jones.
Yeah, it's Casey Jones. So I guess let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joey. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, and subscribe to us. It helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it. If you would like to continue the conversation online, we will be there waiting for you at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. You can find us on Twitter at Real Spoilers or just the regular good old-fashioned internet, realspoilers.com. Or, it now works, dirtypiratehookers.com. So you can go to either one of those locations to find our website. So I believe that's it for this week. Next episode, well, will be a box office report. And then we'll the following episode will be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. Right?
Secret of the Ooze.
I hope it's better than that.
What? Yeah. You're insane. Ninja Turtles 2.
I went back and watched it. It's not good.
You're dumb.
One is way better.
You're dumb. You're all kinds of dumb.
Go back and watch it because I thought the same thing. Went back and watched it. Two is terrible.
I'm just going to make it very clear. Neither of them are good.
No. Yeah. But two is atrociously bad.
What about three? You saw them as children.
And four.
Yes. They're not good.
Yeah.
You have fondness for them and nostalgia, that's okay. Yeah. But they're not good. Yeah. Not good.
But one was darker and like actually was kind of a grittier. I mean, one had this dark tone to it where two just got bonkers.
This is where the turtles are in giant rubber suits.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Just that's making correct. Sure we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just checking. I'm not even jumping in the pool on this one.
So anyway, on that note, that's it for this episode. And until next time, Ethan reunites Debbie with her family.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.